Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Happy Friday and happy International Women's Day and happy opening day of the African Games. About 13,000 athletes are expected to compete in Ghana over the next couple of weeks. On this International Women's Day, we give a special Sunny Side of Sports salute to all the African female athletes who are competing in Ghana. And we'll hear from three of them now. First up, Iron Mike Mbonye chatted with a female swimmer from South Africa.
My name is Lee McMoran and I do swimming.
Which area of specialization do you do in swimming? Which is your area of specialization?
200 butterfly and 800 freestyle.
For how long have you been in swimming and for how long have you been representing South Africa?
I've represented South Africa for about 5 years now, almost 6 years, and I started swimming when I was four, so I've been swimming for 15 years.
Have you won medals? Have you won any laurels in swimming for your province or for South Africa?
I represented South Africa at like Africa champs in Namibia, Tunisia, Ghana in 2021, and I have won medals there, but mostly for open water. But in 2021, I did represent for swimming, and I did win medals there as well.
You're in Ghana for the 13th African Games, and you do butterfly swimming, am I right?
Yes.
What are your chances? How do you see the games? What is it going to look like for you?
I'm not too sure, but I'm hoping to win a medal and just go out there and do my best.
And you also know that there are North Africans who compete with South Africans in swimming when it comes to this kind of African games. How are you coping? How are you going to cope with your position?
I'm just going to take, if anything negative happens, I'm just going to take it and turn it into something positive, because I'm not going to let one bad thing ruin the whole game. So I'm just going to keep on being optimistic about the outcome.
And then you hope to beat them.
Yes, I mean, you can always hope for the best.
The International Women's Day, and lots of women all over the world are in sports. You're one of them. What's your perception? How do you see women in sports? Has it been good for the women?
Yes, women have been doing pretty well in sport lately, I think.
Coming nearer home, coming to South Africa, what has it been like for women? What has been the impact of women in South African sports? How have women helped South Africa to win medals and honors in sports?
The women's sport in South Africa helps reunite the country, I think. And it's just really cool to be part of that. And now I'm going to be a woman representing South Africa as well. So that's really cool. And Team Bayana Bayana is other African champions, as well as the netball team and the hockey team. Okay. And they represented South Africa in the Commonwealth Games, Olympic Games, and now they're really good.
So there are young girls like you all over the world and then in South Africa who want to go into sports. What's your advice to them?
I think go out with a positive mindset. Don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something, and just go out and do your best at everything you do.
That's Lee McMoran, a South African swimmer, and she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye at the African Games in Accra, Ghana. On this International Women's Day, Yawafusu Larbi caught up with another South African female athlete in Accra, table tennis player Mosfika Kalam.
I'm very honored. I feel very special to represent us women out there. I know it's tough out there for the women, I mean for everybody, but in table tennis specifically, it's very hard for the women as well. And me as a woman representing my country, I feel very honored and proud to represent my country.
Right. Now, it's International Women's Day on Friday. Do you have any message for young girls out there in the world?
As a woman, all you can do is achieve greatness, whatever you have, your mind. Whatever your desires or whatever your mind tells you to do, you should go for it. Whether you're behind in your education, you must still strive to educate yourself on everything and enjoy life as far as possible, because anything can happen.
That's South African table tennis player Musfika Kalam, and she spoke with Yawafusu Larbi at the African Games in Accra, Ghana. Yao also spoke with a female table tennis player from Kenya, Doreen Juma.
It feels nice because, for example, in our country, we have very few ladies representing the country, especially during tournaments. The turnout is always low. And as a woman who became one of the top players in the country, it feels nice, and it feels nice motivating other ladies. When they see us play, they also want to play. And generally, it feels nice.
Okay. Now, a final one. What message do you have for women across the world for International Women's Day?
Be strong. Being a woman and also a player is tough. So you have to be strong, first of all, and disciplined. We have triple role as a woman. You need to go at home and cook maybe and prepare for the family. And also you have to train as a player. And also maybe you need to work. So you need to be strong, and you can do both. You can be a player. You can be anything you want. As a woman, you can just know you can be anything you want. And be strong, and discipline is everything.
That's Kenyan table tennis player Doreen Juma, and she spoke with Yawafusu Larbi at the African Games in Accra, Ghana. Now let's go to Pretoria, South Africa, where the fourth season of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, tips off on Saturday. For a preview, I was joined by my VOA colleague Mukbil Yabaro and Cape Town Sharks head coach RF Boyson for our BAL Season 4 podcast, Nothing But Net. Coach Boyson joined us via Skype from Cape Town, South Africa, and I asked Coach B, where does basketball rank in South Africa's sporting culture?
Sunny, currently basketball is one of the fastest growing sports in South Africa, in Africa as a whole. I would put basketball just after rugby, soccer, cricket, our netball, in terms of females, I'll say fifth at the moment. But give it time, with opportunities like Basketball Africa League coming to South Africa, it will just grow. I mean, the atmosphere is electrifying here currently, and the impact that this Basketball Africa League will have on sport and basketball in South Africa as a whole, it's just magnificent. You guys just spoke now about the kid from South Sudan that's committed to Duke. A lot of opportunities are created out of this. So, thank you for Basketball Africa League for having this wonderful competition and right so in South Africa at this moment.
Yeah, Coach, just a follow-up question. What were your initial thoughts when you heard about the Basketball Africa League season for starting off in the Kalahari Conference in South Africa?
Well, it's exciting news to have Basketball Africa League here. I thought initially it was going to be from season 2 or 3 in South Africa, but specifically Cape Town and not Johannesburg. More beautiful here, sunny. We've got the mountains, vineyards and the sea. Hopefully it will be moved here, but exciting times for South African basketball to have the Basketball Africa League here in season 4 in South Africa.
Coach B, can you tell us a little bit about swimming with the Sharks, so to speak? Where do the Sharks fit in terms of the South African basketball landscape?
Yeah, so Cape Town Sharks, one of the best teams in South Africa at the moment. It's just a pity we didn't have opportunity to play last year due to communication that came through from FIBA. Teams like City Oilers, Ferroviaria Beira, and Cape Town Tigers went straight through Elite 16. So there was no South African championship. I believe we'll definitely give Tigers a run for their money. Very, very good team, very good structure, very good president. We currently have 7 teams. in our club. Yes, hopefully you will see us playing soon on the big stage.
Absolutely, Coach. What do you think it'll take to strengthen the South African club leagues and African leagues across the continent?
If I talk about South Africa specifically, we have the Basketball National League. I would like to see players from all over the world playing in the Basketball National League, strengthen this league, that players would want to come here. I mean, we have all the infrastructure. You know, we have the beauty here, like I said, in Cape Town specific. So I would just think that the management of the Basketball Africa League must just reach out and widen the horizon. You know, then more people would invest, more people would want to come and play in South Africa. And I think having the Basketball Africa League here in Pretoria, in South Africa, is an eye-opener already. You know, it's advertisement of what the country can do. We've seen previously our professionals, our Basketball South Africa, run competitions like Zone 6 and Elite 16 year. So I see this just beginning for basketball in terms of growth, in terms of the league, and opportunities for the country.
Coach B, you used that word advertisements, and looking at your attire for this show, it looks like you might be a Yankees fan, Coach B.
No, it's just a sponsor, it's a sponsorship, you know, from a specific brand, not Yankee, not Yankees, but yeah, Sunny. So it's a pity that some teams require some sort of funding, you know, to qualify for, you know, for the Basketball Africa League. You know, the road to Bal is not a cheap exercise. Teams do need money. In our instance, we don't need players. I feel the players we have at the Cape Town Sharks will be sufficient to qualify for the Basketball Africa League. But you do need money to travel. You do need money for accommodation. Hopefully that's something that the Basketball Africa League can look at. To make this exercise cheaper, that more teams can try and qualify, and that you have the best possible players for a specific country that's representing them at the Basketball Africa League.
Absolutely, Coach. And Sunny and I have had this conversation in the past as well. Do you think there should be an age limit, maybe like a under 25, or do you think there should be a majority African young players in the Basketball Africa League and kind of limit the foreign play? Because a ton of times we see a lot of teams going out to get a bunch of veteran, older players to kind of help with the youth. But do you think maybe we should, you know, maybe should the BAL consider putting a specific limit of younger players or African born talent to play in these teams?
So I've got a twofold answer for you pertaining to that. I would say definitely limit in terms of age. I'll say maybe 26 years, but definitely I'm personally not satisfied with this increase of international players that are allowed. It just weaken basketball for specific countries. South Africa played 2 weeks ago. They played against Mozambique. I would have loved to see more of their players in the Tigers team. Now you have five imports. Yes, some teams that will have more money will be stronger because they will be able to buy and afford international players of higher caliber that played college basketball or NBA or G League. So yeah, this is a rule that I think is disadvantaging basketball in Africa by increasing the amount of imports. I think a fair limit would be two. Then you have 10 local players that's playing for the specific team. Like I said, it's about development and developing the country, country's basketball. And having five players, it's not doing justice or will develop the basketball for and players for the country.
Coach B, in terms of the playing format for this Kalahari Conference, each team will play the other in the conference twice. As the BAL continues to grow and expand, do you see this conference play maybe sort of taking on the format of like the NBA playoffs, where it's, you know, best of seven games? Or do you think this is a good barometer of a team's performance playing another team twice in the conference?
I'm all for more games, more competition. you know, for basketball. I would just love the playoffs to be best out of three in Rwanda, not only one game, then you go home. So there is room for improvement, but we must all also consider that a lot of money, it's a lot of just logistics, a lot of planning, a lot of money going into the league. It's only the fourth season. So as the league will develop, as the years will go on, more games will be played, and there will be more improvements at the end of the day. So once again, heads up to BAL for organizing this event and expanding to another conference, because, like I said, it's not easy, the planning, logistics, and everything they've put into making a success of this league.
Yeah, Coach, if you were to pick a team that you like that's not the Cape Town Tigers as the favorites for the Kalahari Conference between Petro, Rabat, and Dynamo Basketball Club, who do you think who do you like?
Look, you know, I like Petro the way they play. They've got bigs that can play inside, that can play outside. They've got that 1-2-2 half-court press, you know, that they apply on. I love the way they share the ball. A lot of talent, you know, wonderful coach, Jose. We've just seen what he's done with the Brazilian team, you know, beating the USA in the last competition. I think Petro Luanda will win this this conference. In terms of coming second, I am from South Africa. I want Cape Town Tigers to go through. But if I look at the roster, it's not going to be easy. Specifically, if they play Dynamo, then they have you know, a big like Williams experience that's posting up. I'm not sure who's going to take him on defense. Peter Prince was out. No Chris Gabriel. No Liam Reid. It's going to be very difficult on defense for the Tigers, but I think they will solely rely on offense, you know, getting the opponents into foul trouble, trying to play a fast-paced basketball. But yeah, it's good to see guys like Billy Preston back in the team. I think the most talented player, you know, in the BAL all four seasons is definitely him. If he can touch the ball, they can do wonders on offense. But like I said, my stress, you know, for the Tigers is on defense. Having no four or five in terms of what I've seen of the roster that can do the work of Prince Lu. A lot of people just speak about Prince Lu's, you know, three-point shooting. But if you go look at the tapes, like you guys have said earlier on, there's 4 years of tapes. The defensive work that Prince Lu have done for this team was just immense, and it will definitely be missed.
Coach B, if we can circle back to that young big man from Sudan who just committed to Duke University, I was talking with one of my colleagues before the show, the big man from Bamako, Sheck Tiero, and he was really impressed with how this young African basketball player has placed a really good education in his future, and that he's not just all about basketball. And Coach B, I know you're not just all about basketball either. What do you think in terms of the trajectory of these young African players? Would you recommend that they go to an American college or university as part of their training program?
Yes, 100%, Sunny, but we must all take a step back and look where it's starting. You know, it's starting with the NBA Africa and what they do for these kids. You know, it's all about academics and basketball. So no one can come in if you just do basketball. Academics must be good. It's 100%. You know, I'm happy for this young man committing to Duke. I know the academic standards are high there. It's good. And he will play good basketball. So the opportunity of him, you know, getting a degree and possibly, you know, make it into the NBA. I'm really ecstatic, you know. I'm happy for this opportunity. And hopefully more players can be recognized, you know, because where do they see them? They see them at FIBA Championship, and they see them at Basketball Africa League. And that is the type of opportunities that the BAL is creating for young players all over Africa.
Yeah, Coach, just to go on earlier, you mentioned a few players. if you were to say potential players to watch, whether it be in the Kalahara Conference or in any of the other conferences moving forward from the limited rosters that you may have seen, if you were to give us a few names, who were you thinking?
Yeah, so if I talk in terms of the Tigers, of what I've seen of the roster, if it's confirmed, I would like to see DeShandre Washington. You know, 2022 was not that great, but 2021, probably he scored 27 points per game. I would like to see how he's playing. Similar height as Evans Ganapamu will be missed. His athleticism, you know, that he brought to the Tigers. I would also say watch out for Billy Preston. He's back. He has something to prove. He still feels he can make it to the NBA. In terms of Petro Lwanda, I would love to see, Carlos Moraes performing well. We know that he's of age, and this might be his last chance of winning a BAL championship. I haven't seen the rosters, but I'm excited to see, teams like LRG, Libya is playing, with Bangi Sport. Bangi Sport currently have lost coach Liz Mills. I'm not sure who's going to coach them if they find a replacement. Evans Gamapamu have left them also. In terms of the Sahara Conference, U.S. Monaster will definitely go through, according to my opinion, of what I've seen, who they've signed. I'm excited to see Rivers Hoopers back. We remember the first game, Ben Uzo scoring the first points of first Passport Africa League. It's very difficult to give more opinion in terms of teams. If I haven't seen the full roster, I'm just speaking out of past experiences. Hopefully you guys will have me on the show when we go to Sahara Conference and NAL Conference once the teams is out.
Finally, Coach B, at the top of the podcast, I mentioned how it was such a thrill for me to see and meet Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Dikembe Mutombo when I visited South Africa in 2018. And I had a chance to check out that Sunbet Arena in Pretoria. And, you know, just seeing Kareem and Dikembe courtside was amazing. But, you know, as a young man growing up, Coach B, Are there either former NBA players or current NBA players who you've really admired over the years?
I'm not gonna go with the stream, but I personally like LeBron James for his life story. You know how hard he worked, you know, to get where he is. His mother supporting him. So I'm a big fan of that, of LeBron James, and specifically, you see what's happening with younger players now, like Anthony Edwards and all of these guys. You know, there's negativity in the media about him. LeBron James, 20 years in the league, you haven't heard or seen one negative publicity about him. Loyalty's wife. So for me, it's a full package when I look at players. So LeBron James, definitely one of my favorites because of, hard work, behavior on and off the court, family man, and so on.
Coach B, the head coach of the Cape Town Sharks. Coach B, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Sonny, for having me. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach B. Mukbil, I really share Coach B's thoughts about LeBron, about, you know, what an exemplary figure he's been for two decades plus, basically.
And also, we got to think about the fact that he came into the league, young man, 18 years old,
no college, no university.
Just gets thrown all this money at him, the level of stardom. He's been the chosen one since he was 18, right? He has to carry teams on his back from then, put some of his friends in really good positions to help set them up for their future. You know, like he said, stayed with, you know, his longtime girlfriend, family man, gets married. Like, literally, like, it's a storybook ending type of, you know, situation. 20 years plus, no blemishes in the outside world where everybody's getting scrutinized. Social media is in all of your business. So, yeah, he's been a great example, great role model, great to his kids, man, you know. So,
and one who is in college right now.
Absolutely. Potentially might be able to play together in the NBA, which is something that we've never seen before. And at a high level, too. It's not like he's just hanging around riding the bench. You know, this he's still a top five player in the NBA at the moment with his son potentially. I think he's eligible for the draft this upcoming year. Don't know whether he goes into the draft or if he stays an additional year. But that's his decision. And LeBron said he'll respect his decision. But it's awesome just to see somebody like that in real time, you know.
Well, McBill, as we look forward to this upcoming season in the Basketball Africa League, what would you like to see maybe in terms of quality of play?
I think, Sonny, to be honest with you, in the last couple of years, year after year, we've been doing this now. This is our fourth season doing this pod. So you remember how we spoke about season one and wanting to see better quality in terms of, you know, maybe chemistry, team chemistry.
Turnovers.
Fewer turnovers. Better shot selection for, you know, for players. Certain things, you even from a coaching standpoint, you know what I'm saying, seeing, you know, maybe different schemes, mid-game adjustments and such, but we've seen year after year it has gotten better. So kudos to the Basketball Africa League and NBA Africa for, you know, working together to make sure that this is a great product, and we're seeing it. As we just mentioned with Coach B, the NBA Africa Academy is, you know, pushing out to these kids that it's not only about basketball, but it's also about education, helping them within their, you know, becoming true professionals, really, above all else. So it's an awesome setup.
And also, Muckle, I think in terms of overall sportsmanship, yeah, the BAL has really taken the high road. You know, I remember last year watching a couple players got called for, I think, technical fouls for hanging on the rim too long after a dunk, yeah, or maybe they said something, you know, sharp to an official, and they were quickly whistled for a technical foul. Yeah. Do you see the BAL maybe taking a stricter approach than the NBA?
Possibly, but the thing that I like more so on the flip side is the players, once they get teed up, are really good about how they react to it, right? So it's like, I also appreciate that because sometimes, you know, in the midst of playing the game, you know, you and I both played the game, you're so invested in it, your emotions are high. If the game is close, you can have an outburst of emotions, you know, that can really set you back because that might not be your true character, but in that moment, you were not able to control yourself. A lot of the players in the last couple of seasons have shown us that even when they get teed up or are in the midst of the chaos, are able to control themselves and they refrain and they don't really show a level of aggression towards the referees, which is very commendable.
McBill, let's take a look at Saturday's opening games in the BAL's Kalahari Conference. In the curtain raiser at the SunBet Arena in Pretoria, BAL debutant FUS Rabat of Morocco will meet Petro de Luanda of Angola. Petro has reached the BAL playoffs in all three previous BAL seasons. In 2021, the Angolan squad finished third overall. In 2022, Petro was runner-up, losing in the final to U.S. Monastir of Tunisia. And in 2023, Petro de Luanda finished fourth overall. In the second game on Saturday, the Cape Town Tigers will take on Dynamo Basketball Club of Burundi. The games will continue through March 17th in Pretoria. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. There were seven NBA games Thursday night in a matchup between two of the league's top teams. The defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Boston Celtics 115-109. Denver's Serbian star Nikola Jokic recorded his 20th triple-double of the season, 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists. Jaylen Brown had a season-high 41 points and 14 rebounds for the Celtics. The result gave the Nuggets a sweep of their season series with the Celtics, who made a furious fourth-quarter surge to threaten Denver. The Celtics still have the NBA's best record, 48 wins and 14 losses. The Nuggets improved to 43 victories and 20 defeats. And that. And that wraps up the March 8th edition of the show. Thanks to producer and BAL reporter Muckville Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jumba Hamza. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side.